Isn't this a sports show? Almost entirely.
What is going on?
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
But yeah, I think this segment just went on Marconi.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
So I have a cough button in front of me.
You do.
That I'm not sure is actually my cough button. Let's find out. Nope, that's not mine.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
The computer mouse and I are feuding today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nothing like that. Like
I went left and it went right. Literally, that's what it just did.
On ESPN Kansas City.
I haven't been really worked up about anything on this show in a couple of weeks. And I think we're going to get a little bit of a curveball today. I'm not going to pretend that the greatest injustice in the world has happened as the Chiefs have kept Bob Sutton as their defensive coordinator. I'm not even really all that interested in talking about the merits or demerits of keeping Bob Sutton on as the Chiefs defensive coordinator. But an article came out on KansasCity.com yesterday, and I'm sure it's in the print edition today, that included Andy Reid's reasoning for keeping Bob Sutton. And it's pretty wild. Again, the reasons behind keeping Sutton, we'll talk about a few of them. There's a perfectly good counterpoint that I'm totally willing to hear out. I can be the devil's advocate on either side of this. Even though I've said multiple times, I would have fired Bob Sutton. I would have fired Bob Sutton and I would have brought in Jack Del Rio or Mike Pettine or some young guy that we've never heard of on the come up. I would have been down for any of those ways of going through the process of replacing Bob Sutton. But I also think that I'm going to be able to tell you reasonably why Andy Reid actually kept Bob Sutton. Also, it's a beautiful day outside. So that's good. That has to help a little bit, right? Like, I drove here today with my windows down. I'm wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
I actually had to turn on my air conditioner.
Yeah, I did. I clicked it for a second, and then I turned it back off again. But whenever I got here, I was a little sweaty, which is my default state, which is one reason I do like winter, actually. Not so damn gross all the time. But, like, it's like, I walked outside today and immediately took off the jacket I was wearing. I was like, oh. This is so pleasant. Although, the building, too hot today. The building didn't get the memo. This studio is 85 degrees right now. Anyway. Those are all the reasons that today isn't so bad. Here's the reasons they are so bad again. Some of Andy Reid's quotes in this article from Travis Paler, KansasCity.com, Kansas City Star. Some of these quotes are wild. On Wednesday at the Senior Bowl, Chiefs coach Andy Reid said he plans to keep Sutton in his role for the 2018 season, Paler wrote. Quote, "There's nothing going on there," Reid said when asked directly if Sutton will return as defensive coordinator. "I know everybody has their opinion on everything, just like they did when they wanted me to bench Alex. That turned out pretty good."
Ooh. Shade.
So, parentheses, replacing Sutton.
You showed them, Andy.
Is not where I'm at or have ever been. I don't listen to any of that. I do what I think is right for the Kansas City Chiefs. Okay. Listen. I don't doubt that Andy Reid's trying to do the best thing that he can for the Chiefs. I don't doubt that he's doing what he thinks is right. I do doubt that that was what you might call the best logic that you can have in this situation. I know everybody has their opinion on everything, just like they did when they wanted me to bench Alex. That turned out pretty good. You're at the Senior Bowl right now. It didn't turn out that good, my dude. What are you talking about? This team lost to Marcus Mariota.
Like 4 months ago, it feels like. There's been so much playoff football that's gone on since your awesome decisions got you to where we are. What do you mean that worked out pretty well? I want to barf. It just makes me want to barf. And this isn't about Smith and Mahomes last year, or even about Bob Sutton, really. It's about Andy Reid going, you're challenging my logic? Here's scoreboard! Scoreboard! And then you look at the scoreboard, and you go, oh, one playoff win since you've been here. Tell me more, master. It's just a really, it's like, all right, you've got some points. You got the one playoff win, something we hadn't had in Kansas City for a very long time. You've had some undeniably good decisions. Sure. It's all good. But I don't think you can flex on these results as the reason for your logic being infallible. I'm sorry, Andy. I'm afraid I can't let you do that. Also, like, another sentence later in the story, it pops up that immediately after praising Bob Sutton and Alex Smith, Andy Reid says, quote, I think overall as a team, we've got to get better in some areas. He's trolling us at this point. He's just trolling us. Going, well, we've got to get better. But everything's going to stay the same. Stay the same. The time's yours. But I said this yesterday. I said this on Sports Night with Cody over on 810 last night. He sounds like a politician making campaign promises. Seriously. Not to get political here. But he sounds like a politician making empty campaign promises. Hey, look at what I've done. Look at how good I've been. We got to get better. Okay, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to strengthen up our borders. We're going to make it easier for people to be made citizens of this country, but we're going to strengthen our borders. And we're going to cure homelessness. And everyone's going to have a job, and we're going to raise minimum wage, and corporations are going to get healthier, and the economy is going to boom, and also no war. Ever. Anywhere. No more war. Wow, this sounds great. Okay, well, Mr. Reid, how do you expect to do these things whenever you're president? We gotta get better. I gotta be better. We gotta be better. Time's yours. Senator Reid, everybody. Woo! Read 2020. You understand how ridiculous that sounds, right? And I'm not checking out on Andy Reid. I don't think you could give me three definitively better head coaches in football. You're gonna take Belichick, but he's had a quarterback this whole time, so it's hard to evaluate Belichick. But not to challenge where Bill Belichick stands. In the NFL, he counts. He gets it. Mike Tomlin, tons of talent around him. Some students wanted him fired this year. Who else has won a Super Bowl recently? Mike McCarthy. Couldn't even say it with a straight face.
Pete Carroll.
Like, okay, Pete, maybe. They didn't miss the playoffs this year.
Okay.
But no, I mean, like, that's a good nomination. Missed the playoffs. He won the Super Bowl with, like, an elite quarterback on a rookie contract and then lost the Super Bowl whenever that quarterback threw an interception on the goal line. People freaked out. Doug Marrone Doug Marrone did an incredible coaching job this year, coaching an incredible team around Blake Bortles. Maybe the most, Sean McVay this year was great. He made the Rams from nothing into something. Are you sure Sean McVay is a superstar? Do you want him over a guy that's done this for a decade?
Hugh Jackson.
Perfect.
Mike Zimmer was amazing this year. He went to an NFC Championship game with a back with his third string quarterback and without his number one running back. Are you going to check in on Mike Zimmer or Doug Marrone or Sean McVay over Andy Reid right now? You're going with some really small sample sizes.
Ahem, Doug Peterson.
That one's rude. That's rude of you. But, I mean, yeah. His offense has been great this year. Defense also crazy talented. Hard to evaluate. So I'm not coming in just to straight up dive out of the hit the eject button and from my seat on the Andy Reid plane. But it's also fair to criticize this. And it's fair to criticize the stated logic. Rob Dissell said on Twitter, said, I get it, and I think Sutton should have been gone also, but I also trust Andy. We were 2-14. We got to be better, but Reid knows what he's doing. Changing GMs, offensive coordinators, and likely the quarterback is lots of change. Also, changing defensive coordinator would really be a lot. And that is 100% true. Could not have said it better myself. And if that was Andy Reid's stated logic, then I would feel a lot better about it. But it wasn't. His stated logic was, bleep you, we've been good enough, trust me. When they obviously have not been even close to good enough. The results that this team has had have been atrocious. Because results matter in the playoffs. I remember when I asked Clark Hunt before the season at a McDonald's at 6:30 in the morning. I asked Clark Hunt at a McDonald's at 6:30 in the morning. In fact, we should go try to find this sound at some point and see how nervous I sound.
Where is it? Do you remember? I'll look for it. Is it in the Chiefs folder?
It's probably in the Chiefs folder somewhere. Yeah, it was before the season. It's like 3 minutes.
Do you remember what date it is?
No, it would have been...
Okay, Mouse, let's cooperate now. No, Mouse. Bad Mouse. Stop it.
We can figure it out in the commercial
break. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no. Please don't fight with the mouse. And please don't curse at the mouse on air. I think I posted a picture of me awkwardly standing next to Clark Hunt on Twitter. So if I can find that, and I can tell you the exact date. But I can't do it right now.
That's fine.
I'll do it in the commercial. But I asked him, I said, so what's a successful season look like for this team? And he basically ended up saying, well, it's getting farther than we got last year. And they went less far. Home playoff loss again. That's not a time when you can shout scoreboard. So, yeah, the Chiefs are going to have a new quarterback, which I still believe is going to happen, although Matt Connor pointed out that if the Chiefs don't like the market for Alex Smith, they could hold on to him, have a quarterback battle this offseason, have a really good backup with no matter who wins the battle, and probably end up with a third-round compensatory pick for him after free agency next year. Although I don't think the pick would actually come in until 2019, which would be a pain. Anyway, though, that's plausible. But it also would mean carrying his $17 million this year. But I just find it... I find the logic behind it unsettling. Because it just sounds like Andy Reid is saying, hey, I've made the right calls. Don't question me. Which I partially understand because he's Andy Reid. But that's also deeply bothersome to me as someone who has said many, many times, the worst fate you can have in all of sports, certainly the NFL is not absent from this, the worst fate you can have, especially in the NFL even, is to be mediocre. Marvin Lewis and Andy Dalton are my own personal hell. Because they're never going to get a chance to take a next step up. They'll probably start AJ McCarron this year. Maybe that'll work. Good luck. You're not going to get a chance to take a step up without being bad first in almost every instance. And mediocre teams stay mediocre. May give you an interesting regular season. Pick 15th. And they do that forever. And I hate that. Seriously, I
I hate that. And it kind of feels like Andy Reid's just like, Dad, we're doing good. Thanks. Stay out of my pocket. And that there are going to be changes. I don't actually mean that there are that everything is truly going to stay the same. If I wanted to be optimistic about this, I would say, you know what, actually, saying we have to make some changes and keeping Bob Sutton, I think, is a good indicator. The Chiefs are going to be spending a lot of their free agent money and a lot of their draft picks on defensive personnel. And I'm totally fine with the logic of, you know what, changing offensive coordinators and quarterbacks and general managers and defensive coordinators would just be too much. That logic is okay. But that's not what Andy Reid's saying, and I don't know if that's what Andy Reid actually believes. I'd be okay with it if he did. If he said, you know what, I just don't want to have to think about the defense anymore than I need to. I'd rather just let Bob do the defense, because I gotta work with a new offensive coordinator, and I gotta work with a new quarterback, and that's good enough for me. Bob just is gonna handle the defense. And then that's fine. I don't begrudge him that. Also, Andy Reid's going to call plays this year, which shouldn't surprise you. Week 14 or something, whenever the offense is completely stalled and Mahomes looks like a bust, then Bieniemy will start calling plays and everything will be okay again. But that's the current status of things. Also, I'm trying to find a specific quote here. Something that Cody brought up yesterday, but I haven't found it. So we'll take a break. And then I'm going to see if I can verify something before I say it on live radio. Which, that might be a first for this show.
Yeah, what's stopping us from doing that now? From not doing that?
I don't know. I have this weird feeling in the pit of my stomach that feels like, oh, God. Is this a desire for journalistic credibility? Ugh. I need some water or like a bucket or something. I haven't felt this in years. Okay, we'll try to handle this next.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Doing promos, that's easy. I'm a talented broadcaster. Shut up.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
All right, I've managed to verify the thing that I was tiptoeing around before we took the much-needed commercial. Oh, I forgot to help you find that Clark Hunt audio. Oh, we need longer commercial breaks, apparently. That's not true. I need to remember things better. There's another article from Trez Paylor from the Senior Bowl about who's going to call plays, as Matt Nagy is now out calling plays for the Chicago Bears as their head coach. Andy Reid, unsurprisingly, is going to go back to calling plays here this year in Kansas City with Eric Bieniemy as the new head coach. But listen to this quote from Andy Reid. I'm going to go back to doing that. I'll do that. I did it at Denver against Denver, and I was very happy with Matt, but we've had some change, and whatever I think is best for the team, I'll go from there. Now, the important part from that bit isn't, whatever I think is best for the team, I'll do it for the team. It's best. Whatever's best for the team, I gotta be better, we're good, this is the best. That's sort of how I imagine Andy Reid talking for long enough eventually, as it sort of kind of implodes on himself, and just it ends in kind of this like groveling nothingness. The important bit there is that Andy Reid called the plays in week 17. He took the reins back from Matt Nagy. Why do we think he did that? Andy Reid knew Matt Nagy was gone. He knew he was going to go get a head coaching job somewhere else. Andy Reid also knew, or at least, at very minimum, I was going to say that Andy Reid knew that Pat Mahomes is going to start this year for the Chiefs. 2018. At the very least, Andy Reid knew that the performance in Week 17 was going to heavily inform the coaching staff and personnel department on the level at which Patrick Mahomes was ready to start in 2018. I am not surprised at all that Andy Reid did that, because he was doing a very human thing. Andy Reid took the Rari out of the garage for a test drive. That's what he did. He's had this brand new, shiny new toy in the garage for months. I wasn't going to let Matt Nagy drive it first. Are you kidding me? We got to make sure this thing can cover some mileage, because it's getting used every day. It becomes the everyday driver in 2018. I'm going to get comfortable driving it whenever I know I have full coverage from Geico, not a sponsor. That's what Andy Reid did Week 17 this year, and hey, no consequences. Let's see if we are in an abandoned old country town with a straightaway here, no cops in sight. We're gonna see if we can get this thing to 130. Brand new toy. Let's zoom a little. That's what Andy Reid was doing in Week 17. He wasn't gonna be sitting in the passenger seat while Matt Nagy tried to push the pedal to the metal. No. Andy Reid wanted to take the Ferrari out for the test drive. I think it means good things for 2018, assuming that you're in the camp that all people who like fun should be in, which is Mahomes 2018. Because I think that's Andy Reid. I think there are two or three ways that you can interpret this in good ways. One, it's Andy Reid wanting to get that test drive in because he knows they're taking it out of the garage permanently next year. Second option would be that it was him taking the new car out of the garage for a test drive to see how it performed while he was driving it, and it performed well. So that's reason for optimism number two, or alternate interpretation number two. Third way that you can appreciate it and feel pretty good about it is that it didn't look like we were getting a held back Pat Mahomes, did we? Or did it, I should say. We got a fully explosive Patrick Mahomes doing all those things we saw him do in college, making some mind-melting throws. He wasn't out there throwing checkdowns constantly. He wasn't playing like Alex Smith. So even if you don't buy either of my first two points, you got to buy that one. That whenever Andy Reid was behind the wheel, Patrick Mahomes still looked like Patrick Mahomes.
Thomas on Facebook wants to know what kind of car Alex Smith is.
He's a Dodge Neon, which is also my first car. He used to be a Plymouth, which is the Niners. And then it became a Dodge Neon. It'll get you wherever you want. It's going to have some issues. Definitely has a top speed limit. That might just be my familiarity with the work of Dodge Neons.
So what kind of cars did we have before Alex Smith got here?
Bicycles.
I was going to say Ford Pintos.
The car from the Flintstones.
That works too.
Matt Castle was a Flintstones car.
Bortles?
Tyler Palko was a Flintstones car. Blake Bortles is a kayak.
Ooh.
It does not work. You can paddle as hard as you want, but you cannot make Blake Bortles go the speed limit on a highway. Even with Leonard Fournette and TJ Yeldon just pushing the boat. Yeah, that's definitely Blake Bortles is 100% a kayak. Oof. PTI today is starting with Tiger Woods returning to the tour. I like these slow Thursdays because I'll always peek up to see where ESPN shows are starting, see what's the national story of the day. Today, the PTI rundown is Tiger Woods, Cavs, Paul George, Hall of Fame, new XFL. We will talk about one of those today. No, but it's not Paul George.
I was going to say Cavs.
Nope, neither of those. That's brutal, man. I like these days because eventually we get to something weird, but we're not gonna make it to breaking down the Hall of Famers. The new XFLs that we'll talk about in a little bit is kind of interesting. I really like the revelation that Andy Reid was calling plays in Week 17. Getting familiar with Mahomes, testing him out, however you want to look at it, it's all good news. Preparing him to start in 2018, knowing that if Andy Reid truly did not intend on having Patrick Mahomes play this year, why would he have bothered? Just for fun, I guess? Just because he knew that Nagy was gone? Okay, that's fine. Like, just wanted to take a joyride? I guess more than that. And man, it'll be a hard show whenever we're just like after the draft and the Chiefs still have a move, Alex Smith. And I'm just kind of melting every day. And then eventually Therese corners Andy Reid and says, hey, so are you going to stick with Alex Smith? And then Andy Reid goes, yeah, well, listen, I'm gonna do what I think is best for the team. I got to be better. We're going to stick with Alex and Bob. Bob and Alex and me, the three of us, we're gonna own this AFC West and lose in the first round at home.
Bringing Paley back. Paley.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I think you called him Paley just then.
Paley.
Which would be Scott Paley and Todd Haley. Sure.
Sure, bring him back too.
Bring them all back.
Make Matt Castle offensive coordinator.
God. Just make Matt Castle quarterback. No, that's too much of a change.
That's too much.
That's too large of a change.
That's why I say just offensive coordinator.
Are the Browns going to win a home playoff game before the Chiefs, too?
Are the Browns going to win a game?
They're going to pull all the Chiefs. We talk about Alex Smith some also. There have been some varying reports on what the Chiefs should expect for Alex Smith. I think Therese said that the lowest that the Chiefs would accept, that he thinks the Chiefs would accept for Alex Smith would be a second-round pick. Some former GM said because he's an older quarterback, only has 1 year left on his deal, it'd be more like a third or a fourth round pick. I think you could convince the Jags to give you 17 first round picks. Peter King mentioned yesterday that he thinks that Alex Smith will be the quarterback of the Browns next year. And somebody asked him, who do you think will be the quarterback of the Browns next year? And he said Alex Smith. You've got the John Dorsey connection. Todd Haley can work with Alex Smith. Alex Smith is a quarterback that can be used in different ways. Somebody else recently had an article out where I think it was Chris Sims. Chris Sims had an article. He said he thinks that he ends up in Arizona. The good news here is that we just saw the best Alex Smith we've ever seen, and there are plenty of NFL teams that really don't want to have to start Drew Stanton next year.
I'd like to point out Alex Smith is 33. Aaron Rodgers is 34.
That's a pretty good point.
Matt Ryan's 32. Roethlisberger's 35. Breeze is
holy bleep. Alex Smith is 1 year older than Matt Ryan.
Yep. Breeze is 39. Brady's 1,000. Phillip Rivers is 36. Kirk Cousins is 29.
Matt Ryan is 1 year younger than Alex Smith.
Yep.
Can I get some music for checking your work on this? This is stunning to me. So Alex Smith is 33. He was born May 7th, 1984. Matt Ryan, May 17th, 1985. Almost exactly a year. Huh.
So much for that whole, oh, Alex Smith's an old quarterback thing, huh?
Well, he's been in the league for 1,000 years, so it is crazy that he's not older than that. Also, this is interesting. I hadn't seen this. Adam Schefter said, while he was on Stephen A. Smith radio show, Schefter speculated about the likelihood of Jaguars going after quarterbacks and likelihood that other teams would move on from their own guys, namely Vikings and Case Keenum. This is a tweet. Someone said, Schefter just said on Stephen A. Smith radio show that if Jacksonville can land Kirk Cousins or Alex Smith, they'd move on from Blake Bortles, and he thinks they go after them. And the Jags are much more likely to move on from Bortles than Minnesota is from moving on Keenum. This is interesting. On this Big Cat Country, the SB Nation Jags blog, it says, moving on from Blake Bortles? Sure. Going after Kirk Cousins? Fine. Going after Alex Smith? Well, dot, dot, dot. Going after Drew Brees? Gimme. This is interesting. So whatever the Jags in free agency, they're pursuing a quarterback, they're doing it right. Frankly, I'd rather see Brees or Cousins in Teal this fall, but Smith would still be an upgrade. Jags fans must be delusional. I have my criticisms of Alex Smith.
They did just make it to an AFC championship game, though.
Yeah,
that's
but in spite of their quarterback, the idea that Alex Smith is
that
a, the idea that Alex Smith is a slight upgrade over Blake Bortles
didn't they score like
is
40,
delusional.
How many points did they score against the Steelers?
Like 45.
Yeah.
Blake Bortles threw one touchdown.
I know,
in that
but
game.
They're still going to see that and go, oh.
They shouldn't. That's dumb. That's
they're
dumb.
Crazy football fans, though.
That is dumb. If it, seriously. Not to get to the lowest possible common denominator of sports talk, but if you look at the Jags' 45 points against the Steelers in the playoffs, and you go, oh, you know what? This must mean that Blake Bortles is a good quarterback. You are a fool.
He's at least not
he had
completely incompetent.
Beards.
No,
he,
I'm agreeing.
He is. He is absolutely
I know.
Incompetent.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying there are some fans that will probably look at that and go, oh, he's at least not atrociously
terrible.
He had
14
terrible.
Completions in that game for 214 yards and one touchdown.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Leonard Fournette had 25 carries for 100 yards and three touchdowns. T.J. Yeldon ran for a touchdown. Blake Bortles was not good in that game. If that is the logic that Jags fans are using, they deserve Blake Bortles forever. I've got to get on Jacksonville radio somewhere. I need someone from Jacksonville to call me and ask me what I think about Blake Bortles. Again, I mean, I am not the biggest Alex Smith fanboy on the planet, but I will absolutely die on the hill of Alex Smith as a significant upgrade over Blake Bortles. The Jags are more afraid of Blake Bortles in the playoff games than they were of Ben Roethlisberger or Tom Brady. That is absurd. I mean, Alex Smith was straight up better than Kirk Cousins this year. Like, in a vacuum. And again, I am as ready for Patrick Mahomes as anyone on this planet. I've been ready for Patrick Mahomes since a calendar year ago, nearly at this point. For like 10 months, not quite. 9 months, I guess. I have carried this Patrick Mahomes hype for a full-term pregnancy. I want to birth it into the world. Yeah, I figured you'd make something out of that. But Jags fans should be so... They should be barfing over the idea of Blake Bortles coming back. And also ecstatic about the idea of Alex Smith. with this I might just scroll through this Jags SB Nation site for a little while. Here's a headline. Bovada gives odds for Blake Bortles as 2018 Jaguars starting quarterback. He's basically 1-1. He's 11-10. Any other current player is 5-4. 2018 draft pick is 5-1. They basically have it as even odds, though, for Bortles or any other current player other than Chad Henne. Wow, that is absolutely wild to me. Anything interesting happening in the comments, Beards? I'm sort of scanning through now.
Wade says that Alex Smith is a V6 Mustang. Everyone else thinks he's fast, but we know.
That's pretty good.
Also, I just saw this on Twitter. NBA on TNT had a video of Westbrook arriving to the game tonight.
Yeah. What's he wearing?
So, you know your shirt that has, like, a bunch of holes in it?
Sure.
That looks like somebody shot it with a shotgun?
My hoodie.
Sure.
Yeah.
He's wearing basically that, but it's yellow, and it has a giant hole right here.
Like, in the... We're on radio.
That's true. Beards. I forgot about that. Basically, you can see his chest through this.
Is it like a Teletubby size hole?
No, it looks like it got ripped.
I'm going to the...
It's from about a minute ago.
Okay,
yeah.
This is just a sweater. This isn't a hoodie.
Yeah, it's a sweater.
It's a yellow sweater. Yeah, it is... it looks a lot like the black destroyed sweater that I have, but you're right. Yeah, well, you know what you can see, Beards. There's a specific phrase for exactly where this one big old hole in the sweater is.
Uh-huh.
You can see Russell Westbrook's underboob.
Yep. I wasn't going to say it. I was going to let you drown.
I'm here. Drowning in the underboob. Mark, I don't care. Yeah, no, he's wearing glasses and a chain and... Really, a sweater that I would absolutely wear, except for, again, boob window.
Yeah. Also, there's a bunch of holes, like, near the waist as well.
Yeah, you're right. I see those now, too. This is more mauled than that one sweater I have. Whenever it gets cold again, remind me.
By a lot.
Not by a lot. Not the sweater that I have. The difference is the big hole in the middle. That's different. But I have a black sweater that I gave the same treatment to.
Also, his chain is a big W.
Yeah, I saw that. Anything else? Any other breakdown you want to give? I would be cool with you're going to have to do the reporting on this, Beards.
Okay.
I'd be totally cool with having a daily Russell Westbrook fashion update. I love Russell Westbrook.
I like the aluminum foil outfit he wore that one time.
I don't know if I even saw that.
It was pretty weird. I mean, all of his outfits are pretty weird.
Thomas said that he doesn't think Alex is going to want to stick around as a backup. That's true, but it's also, like, tough. If you're under contract with this team and you're going to have an actual competition with Mahomes, if that's the direction they go in, then meh.
I feel like there's a lot of veterans on that team, though, that wouldn't take kindly to that.
Not if they win their first three games.
That's true.
Winning cures everything, man. Tyreek Hill was a problem until he became this team's best player. Like, I mean, whatever. Apologies to Travis Kelce. But you know what I mean. Success will paint over a lot of that. If Mahomes comes in and is dealing, or even if the team just simply believes that he gives them the best chance to win in the next 3 years, I think they're going to work out fine. The Jags seem to have gotten through a Blake Bortles year just fine. No, I do think it's fair to say, like, maybe veterans wouldn't love seeing their veteran leader get benched, but if he gets beaten out, the NFL's allegedly a meritocracy. So it happens. Also, I'm sure that the Chiefs are aware of that. If they want to treat Alex Smith well, then they probably will. By trade or maybe by cutting him. They're going to want that cap money, though. I think they're going to be rolling with Mahomes, and they're going to want $17 million more than they want Alex Smith. This is a discussion that we had off and on a little bit in the preseason, and I'm pretty sure that Kevin was one of the guys who was trying to really get on the train of like $17, $18, $19, $20 million for Alex Smith is not a ton of money. And I think that's mostly true still. Is Alex Smith for $15 to $20 million worth it for the Jacksonville Jaguars for a year? Yeah, for sure. But he's not worth it to the Chiefs. It's situational. In a vacuum, is Alex Smith worth his paycheck next year? Probably. Was he worth it this year? Sure. But it's very much dependent on your situations. Is Alex Smith going to be $13 million more worth it next year than Pat Mahomes will be? Probably not. And even if you think he is, even if he does end up being $13 million better than Alex Smith or better than Pat Mahomes next year, you got to find that out about Patrick Mahomes. Alex Smith isn't going to win a Super Bowl with this team. Pat Mahomes might not either, but you got to find out. I like that Alex Smith is a V6 Mustang. Wade says that Bortles is a Subaru Brat. Brat? Is it pronounced Brat like the sausage? I don't even know if I know what that is. No, Blake Bortles is one of those Playmobil plastic little red and yellow cars that you have to, like, pedal. Or Blake Bortles is, again, a kayak. I'm pretty good with
the Subaru Brat is, like, a little two-door. It looks like it should be a sedan, but it's a two-door thing, and it's, like, got a pickup back.
Oh, whoa!
Yeah, it's not good.
Oh, no, this is sexy. This is a sexy vehicle right here.
In, like, the 60s or 70s, maybe.
Nah, I would drive that, though.
Of course you would.
I would. It's super weird, but I kind of like it. You know what, Blake? You know what kind of car Blake Bortles is? Blake Bortles is one of those little those square plastic things with the handles on the side and those four little black wheels that you used to have in gym class. You know what I'm talking about?
No?
Like it's like a square plastic four-wheeled device with little handles on the side.
You
and scoot them around or whatever. That's the kind of car that Blake Bortles is.
I still like the idea of a Ford Pinto. You know what the Ford Pinto is, right?
I'm Googling the Ford.
Well, the thing about the Ford Pinto isn't the looks. It's the fact that when you rear-end it, it explodes.
I did not know that. Really? That feels like a poor design. What?
Yeah.
Why did the Pinto explode? Between 1971 and 1970, approximately 50 lawsuits were brought against the Ford in connection with rear-ended accidents in the Pinto. The gas tank of the Pinto exploded on impact. Oh. Reports range from 27 to 180 deaths as a result of rear impact-related fuel tank fires in the Pinto.
See, I like that idea.
So, yeah. All right, Blake Bortles is like 15 Ford Pintos.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I would pay nearly 60 meals worth of money, not ramen, to know the Chiefs' big board going into the draft last year.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I would pay double that if I was the only one that was given that information, and then I could release it and get lots and lots of those good, good retweets. Because that is the currency on which I truly survive.
On ESPN Kansas City.
This song is so hard to talk over because it's just so funky. Just such a good little groove. All right, so we figured it out. It was September this year. I was in a... God, this sentence is so freaking dumb. It was 6:30 a.m. and I was in a McDonald's in Olathe waiting for Clark Hunt to come and answer like 2 or 3 minutes worth of questions.
Very quickly, side note on that subject.
Sure.
John Starks is having a, you know who John Starks is? He's an NBA player, used to play for the Knicks.
Okay.
He's having a meet and greet, I think it's today, at a New York McDonald's.
That's awesome.
So there you go. Just I want to throw that out there.
Yeah.
If anybody's in New York and listening to this.
Yeah. Awesome work on that
we
one,
we want to know how you got magical powers, and also you should go see John Starks at McDonald's.
But, yeah, so Clark Kent was doing, like, a Chiefs Kingdom, like, tour day, a bunch of McDonald's. McDonald's was selling those little flags, Chief Kingdom flags and everything. And I got to ask him a few questions. And apparently the first question I asked him had to do with his expectations and his definition of a successful season. I don't remember exactly what I said, so Beard is going to include my question here. I'm sure it's going to make me cringe. That's okay. But just for kicks, here's the whole thing.
All right, Clark, so I'm wondering, from your perspective as an owner, obviously you have expectations for the team kind of on a game-to-game basis, but what are your expectations for this team this year, and what would you call a successful season?
Well, when you come off of a playoff season, the bar is always set very high, and the expectations for the players and the coaches is to try to at least get to that level, if not take it a step further. I think, to a man, the players and coaches were disappointed about not getting past Pittsburgh last year. Obviously, the great start in New England, I think, raises the expectations a little bit. But we've got to take care of business on a week-by-week basis, and this week that means beating the Philadelphia Eagles.
So this was between week one and week two. Yeah, the expectations are to get where you got last year or further.
How'd that go?
Wah, wah, wah. I mean, just brutal. So there you go. Like, there's just on. The reason I wanted to go back to that wasn't to remind you that I am a professional radio man, but it was to point out that. By Clark Hunt's own preseason definition, and this is why I asked him this question, so we can play it back after the failure of a season. By his own preseason week one definition of success, this team failed this year. Which does make it really kind of hard to swallow the fact that Andy Reid didn't feel the need to move on from Bob Sutton. That's where this all kind of, that's where this all stemmed from. Beards, are you about to mention that we just saw a commercial where the Broncos
I wasn't going to mention it, but I was definitely looking at
the
it.
The Broncos
very
horse
strangely.
And the Colts horse kissed. It was some sort of PSA. It looked like a very sweet, in general, PSA.
One of the love has no labels, I think, is what it, the
okay,
tagline
sure.
was.
Sure. But a Broncos Colts. Like, that was just, Peyton Manning was in both of the suits. That's how I have to imagine it. He's what I think of whenever I think of the Broncos and Colts coming together. Anyway, the season was a failure. But the Chiefs are going to pretty much roll into next year with the same. That's not fair. They're going to have a new quarterback and offensive coordinator. But Bob Sutton, he's staying.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City. You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Can we make another tender for you? And then myself and everyone listening now can help, like, write your bio and everything.
That's a scary thought.
Well, like, we'll also, we can write the replies and stuff for you also.
That's an even scarier thought.
Let your love life be determined by Almost Entirely Sports. Coward.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I think this is the future. I think we need to make this happen. This would be great for the show. You seem hesitant, and I can't figure out why.
On ESPN Kansas City.
We gotta do that, man. It would be so good. Also, Lil Wayne is tweeting about Frank Mason, and Frank Mason, I think, just tweeted out a track list to a Lil Wayne mixtape. And I'm just trying to figure out what's... It's all moving very quickly. This is all just breaking right in front of my eyes. Yeah, man, you got to let us control your Tinder. We got to do this. We have to create a Beards McFly Tinder profile. We do need to have a discussion about, like, what it is you're looking for. So I'm not going to just... Again, I don't want to just set you up with anybody. I want, because part of it for me, part of the fun for me is seeing how good I do. So, like, if I match you with 100 different women, because I just am constantly swiping right. Right is good, isn't it?
That's correct.
If I'm constantly just swiping right, that doesn't mean anything. I want to be able to give you some very plausible options. I want you to find someone that you can love half as much as you love Witcher, the Witcher games.
Good pull there.
Or Dark Souls. There we go.
No, Witcher's better for that.
You said that you love Witcher 4?
Three. There is no 4.
You're going to love...
I'm very disappointed in that fact.
You're gonna love Witcher 4 more than any woman. Christian Yelich has been traded to the Brewers.
That's where we're starting off our second hour there, huh? Tinder and baseball news.
Welcome to Almost in Time. Were you not recording?
No, the computer messed up.
Ah.
So we lost like 2 seconds there.
That's okay.
So
the Marlins just keep shipping guys out of town. That's barely news. But yeah, this show, Almost Entirely Sports. Let me do this again. Sorry. Welcome to Almost Entirely Sports. The first hour is about Bob Sutton. The second hour is about Tinder and baseball. There you go. Cut up. Go make a promo, Beards.
That'll be a good promo.
It will be. It's concise. Make it a little 15-second promo. Make it a 10. A little zinger. We need to do some custom station IDs also. I think that would be fun. Where it can be like, hey, welcome to ESPN Kansas City. We either talk about Bob Sutton, baseball, or Tinder. KCTE Independence.
K257DZ Kansas City.
I don't think I ever even... Why do we have two sets of call letters?
Probably because FM and AM.
Okay. Whatever. Regardless, we got to do some of that. Also, we'll eventually talk about the free throw vigilante that made his way into a dorm at Kansas. But I think we should start with the XFL story. Just because, like, this makes me feel like a fortune teller. This story makes me feel like a fortune teller because I know where this is going. First and foremost, Conrad McGorkin, local Twitter superstar, tweeted, "What would your XFL jersey say?" The back of my XFL jersey would say, "I'll be unemployed in 2 years."
Yeah, during the SportsCenter update there, I was surprised. I didn't realize the original XFL failed in 1 year.
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, they're going to double it. I did not know that either.
They have one champion. The Los Angeles Extreme, and of course it's spelled X-T-R-E-M-E.
Well, so here's the thing.
Do they all have to be variants where they have to put the X in very weird places?
I think that honestly may have been a thing the first time.
Period. I hope so. Let's see.
But here's the thing, though, Beards.
Oh, it wasn't the original time.
Here's the thing. So the XFL is coming back in 2020, Vince McMahon announced today. 8 teams, he owns all of them.
I hope they're the same team names. We can play that game later.
It's not going to be.
I know.
Because the gimmick for the new XFL is that the game is going to go faster and be safer? What? Here are some ground rules. I'm going to read you some ground rules and some predictions. Tell me if you can figure out which ones are which.
Okay.
Players must stand for the anthem.
I heard that one.
Players with a criminal record are not allowed to play.
Heard that one.
Donald Trump is going to tweet about it at some point.
That'll happen.
And the league will fail.
Are there any predictions in there?
These are facts. These are 4 facts about the XFL.
Can I give you the team names real quick from the original?
The original? Sure. We have the, hold on. Can I see how many I know?
Sure.
There's 8. The Maniacs.
Yes. Do you remember where those are?
No, but I remember their logo is like...
Memphis Maniacs.
Memphis Maniacs.
With an X at the end of
right,
Memphis.
Right, yeah.
Or Maniacs,
yeah, the Memphex. The Memphex Maniacs.
Silent X.
There was... Can you give me one of the cities and see if that helps
Orlando.
Me? Magics.
The Rage.
Ray, okay. What? Okay, just give me the city names and I'll see what
Chicago.
I can
do. Chicago.
X-Bulls.
Enforcers.
Oh, not a chance.
New York /New Jersey.
Oh, Were they like the Rampage?
Hitmen.
Hitmen. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I just remember that they had a dual team there.
Birmingham.
Seriously? There's a team in Birmingham?
Yep.
What was it?
The Thunderbolts.
Sure, obviously. Birmingham known for its Thunderbolts.
Los Angeles Extreme, San Francisco.
Wait, hold on. A Thunderbolt's not a thing.
Oklahoma City Thunder.
You have Thunder.
I know.
Or Lightning Bolts.
I know. Thunderbolts is very...
Hold on.
Thunderbolts is one of those things that's kind of entered the American lexicon.
A Thunderbolt is the damn, the freaking iPod, iPhone cable, charging cables. Those are called Thunderbolt cables.
Uh-huh.
It's a hardware interface. That's a Thunderbolt.
Or an electric attack in Pokemon.
Is that true?
I think so.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Thunderbolt.
Yeah.
It's a move.
Anyway, do you want to keep going?
Sure, yes.
San Francisco.
Was it like the fire or the earthquakes?
The demons.
Ah.
Memphis Maniacs. Las Vegas.
The strip clubs.
Outlaws.
Outlaws. All right. I got
very
one.
Generic names.
I got one, and frankly, that's more than I should have gotten.
Sure.
When did the original XFL fold?
2001.
Okay.
Their only season.
This is super weird. I remember talking, whenever the rumors started popping up about the XFL coming back, we talked about it a little bit, and I was excited. But I am not anymore. The XFL's gimmick is two-hour-ish games and no politics, except for you have to stand for the anthem, which is a political statement, but so whatever. Like, I think I said that it'll fold by 2028, and that was too high, but I think that it'll live for, like, 3 years longer than it should, because Vince McMahon has the kind of bleep you money to keep it going for a few years after it should have died a valiant death. But also, remember when we talked about the XFL a couple weeks ago? We're like, oh, man, their first three moves should be sign Tim Tebow to a team, sign Johnny Manziel to a team, sign Colin Kaepernick to a team. Because at the very least, you got eyeballs in those first few games.
I think Manziel tweeted something today.
He did. But the XFL's own rules are disqualifying Johnny Manziel from being able to play in the league.
Didn't they also say they wanted him?
I don't know, but they can't
I remember hearing that somewhere.
Their current rules say they can't take him because he has a criminal record. Kaepernick definitely does not sound welcome here, and Tim Tebow is playing baseball. So, what are we watching for? The XFL is going to be the league that figures out how to make football safe? Are you kidding?
Also, the Arena Football League has been around since 1987.
Yeah, and that was going to be...
Like, they could be that, maybe.
No, why would they be that? The Arena Football League at least exists already. Like, they appear to at least have some sort of infrastructure. Although, I think it folded and came back as, like, the AFL-2 or something at one point recently.
Arena Football 1 in 2010, NetTend Wireless AFL 2012-2014.
Oh, AF2, okay, was apparently the Arena Football Developmental League.
That makes sense. I mean, not the fact that they have a developmental league, but just the fact that that's what they'd call
it. I thought they were doing like a reboot of some sort, but no, apparently not. Apparently Arena Football is alive and well. Well, alive at least. Not exactly where I expected this to go, but like they appear to be in good markets and have at least something going on. Why would the XFL even jump that?
Also, the longest-tenured AFL franchise is suspending operations citing financial issues.
Who was that?
The Tampa Bay Storm.
Okay.
The Cleveland Gladiators also announced that they would take a 2-year leave of absence.
The Arizona Rattlers have been around forever. Are they still functioning?
I'm assuming so. I haven't seen anything. Oh, this is the current teams. Albany Empire.
Mm-hmm. They're brand new, I think.
Baltimore Brigade. They're from last year. Philadelphia Soul. Washington Valor.
There are only four teams currently?
Looks like it. Current teams, at least. With one franchise on hiatus.
The Arizona Rattlers and are playing the Storm on February 25th.
Well, that's not what Wikipedia says.
You just buzzed right over the Nebraska danger. Beer, did you hear the part when I said the Nebraska danger?
I did, and they're not on this list. They're not even on the defunct franchise list.
I'm guessing that that's not updated as much. I'm on the Arizona Rapids official site right now.
Okay. Well, everybody knows Wikipedia is never wrong.
Well, it's just not updated. Yeah, we've got at least the Sioux Falls Storm, the Iowa Barnstormers, the Green Bay Blizzard, the Bloomington Edge.
Are you sure you're looking at the Arena Football League?
Arizona Rattlers.
Okay, just making sure.
On the AZ Rattlers website. Unless they're no longer actually an Arena League team. This is good radio, though. This is right now.
Woo!
This is it. This is why we need to... yeah.
This is why we need the XFL.
Right, yes. Thank you for saving me. I didn't know where I was going with that. All right, I'm closing the Arizona Rattlers websites. Tabs that I have open.
And as soon as you do, the site will be deleted forever.
Right, I was keeping it alive. Anyway, the point being... the XFL coming back with no gimmicks, I put that in quotes, coming back with no gimmicks, and their gimmick being, this is fat, the game's going to go quicker, it's only going to take 2 hours, and there'll be less flags. No, if I'm going to buy in to another football league, I want to watch NFL Street be played in real life.
Can we give the safeties,
excuse my hiccup,
sticks or something? Clubs?
Yes, this is, this is what it should be.
Yeah, just make them gladiators.
Somebody should start the CTEFL.
Woof.
But just
They've
really
got a branding issue.
They would have a branding issue. Just lean into it. But be dirty.
Padded clubs, of course.
Sure, fine.
Yeah.
No, just be dirty. Just say, hey, we're going to be a dirty football league. The DFL. Just admit that that's what you are. If you're going to try to be something that competes with the NFL, you're going to lose. Be different. So the XFL is going to come in and just be boring. Just give me something different. It doesn't necessarily have to be a no-holds-barred league, although somebody tweeted out at one point, like, there should be a 5 second. There should be 5 seconds after every whistle blows to just legally harm any other players on the field. We should just go ahead and make that a part of the game, and I'd be fine with that.
You think they're going to beat the ratings of the Lingerie Football League?
Does that still exist?
Yep.
Wow.
There are 8 teams, maybe 2 on the way.
That is stunning.
Who wants to be a fan of the Austin Acoustic?
What is that?
That's the team name.
Oh, my.
The Omaha Heart, Nashville Knights, Chicago Bliss, Atlanta Steam, Denver Dream, Seattle Mist, and Los Angeles Temptation. Oof.
I'm trying to find a very specific tweet that someone had suggesting. Here we go.
Coming soon to the Washington, D.C. area, the Washington Warriorettes.
Get out.
And the Arizona Scorch.
Arizona Scorch is kind of cool.
That's not terrible.
This is from @4verts on Twitter. Here's the new XFL. Players with arrests are encouraged. For every arrest you get a handcuffs helmet decal. You get a 5 second window after every play to legally attack the other team. And there will be a drug week. Each team plays a game under the influence, commissioner choice on drugs.
Also, all the helmets need to have horns.
Yes!
Yes!
That's perfect.
Helmets. Oh my god, he's been gored through the chest!
Helmets have...
what a sport!
Helmets have horns. Also, there's also bullfighting going on throughout the game. If you get killed by a bull, you also lose.
Well, that's just assumed.
Well, not officially, but officially, this is in the rule book. And yeah, for every, it's like there's some Valhalla stuff going on.
One player on each team, for five possessions, they can get a giant Morningstar mace, which is the one
on the
chain.
That's pretty good. I think they're going to go the other way and have some sort of like they just get like a syringe full of adrenaline directly into their heart. So they're basically, I'm trying to get to NFL Street 2 levels.
See, that's what
IRL
happens
here.
When somebody like gets clubbed over the head and they're just kind of laying there. And the doctor team comes out and just goes, shot to the heart. And then he pops back up and tries to kill somebody.
And see, okay, I'm not against this. I want to keep workshopping here. My dream scenario is that we basically get to NFL Street 2, but in real life, where you're playing with like lessened gravity, and everyone's wearing chains because my custom teams, everybody was out there rocking a piece, you know.
What's that coming out of the end zone? Oh my God, Johnny Manziel's got the monster truck!
Oh, but over here,
oh, he's steamrolling everybody!
Oh God, Greg Hardy's riding a Rancor.
He's gone all the way.
Oh no, the landmine!
There was a game years ago. It was like an NES or something. I don't remember. It was called Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball.
What?
Yeah, that's basically how I am imagining this right now.
That's I like that. I will be watching some gameplay of that in the commercial break. But I like the idea though. So again, NFL Street 2 logic.
Super Nintendo.
If you're doing style, if you throw a pass off of a chain link fence or whatever, if you climb up a chain link fence and then throw a pass and complete it, or you like do like a between the legs pass of some sort, you pick up style points. Uh-huh. And then whenever you get to the end of your style points part, you get a game breaker, which means adrenaline into the heart. Or you do a line of cocaine. Tech check for the cocaine reference again.
Day four.
And then you are performing at a level beyond normal human capacity. So then you're just your normal kind of run-of-the-mill mutant ninja turtle, you know, Luke Kuechly in 10 years, is out there roaming around just trying to tackle... what's another good... I need a good backup quarterback. Ben Roethlisberger with his cyborg legs that aren't allowed in the NFL but are encouraged in the XFL... Ben Roethlisberger with his cyborg legs on cocaine as a Luke Kuechly in rocket boots is chasing him around. I feel like that's the future that we need in football.
Do you want me to read the description of Bill Laimbeer's combat basketball real quick?
Yes, please.
The game takes place in the year 2030. Bill Laimbeer has become commissioner of the basketball league, fired the referees, and created a style of play without rules. There are no fouls, and use of weapons is perfectly legal. That's basically what the XFL needs to be.
Yeah, I'm watching some gameplay.
Oh, no,
this really needs a remake.
The refs have tasers. Or cattle prods.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. The ref's only purpose is to stop the unsanctioned murders.
Also, they're driving around in Pope Mobiles.
The referees are?
Yes.
How big is the field?
However big it needs to be.
Okay. I do like the idea. Also, I think you could really decrease some of the CTE issues by increasing the size of the field overall. So yeah, the refs are in Pope Mobiles, and you just have like
they
15
have spikes
players
on, the front
on each
as well.
Team. That's good. Some Ben Hur kind of stuff. Yeah. You've got like chariots with the big spikes on the
Mad
sides.
Mad Max style. That's what we need. Mad
yeah,
Max.
No, I this sounds very Mad Max. Yeah, this is.
I don't see any copyright infringement at all.
Oh no, I mean you don't have to. You instead of spraying whatever silver spray paint on your mouth, you just do like shiny pink spray paint.
Oh, perfectly legal. Okay.
Yeah. Like, is this not a more interesting football league than the extremely clean NFL?
Gosh. Like, that's weenies over there.
I mean, and also, like, Pablo Torre tweeted this, obviously, like, reaching for, you know, a very specific joke that is usually aimed at people of my ilk. But he tweeted that the XFL is going to be a safe space. Because Vince McMahon emphasized that the XFL will, quote, have nothing to do with politics. The fans, quote, want good football. That's fine, I guess. But you're not, this is not the rebellious league that you once wanted it to be. This is just the SEC, but worse.
So here's a question that we have to have about the new XFL.
Okay.
Are the losers of each match... So is this an elimination sport where the losers of each match are like they're just decapitated right there on the field?
Our version or the Vince McMahon
version? Whichever one. So then the champion is just the only team left?
It's pretty good.
And then next season they have all new people come in.
So in the Vince McMahon version, actually everyone gets a ribbon because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Okay, that's
right. The Vince McMahon XFL that we're rebooting here.
Okay. Participation trophies are in the beginning of the game.
Ooh, that's super good.
Yeah.
Everybody gets all the trophies before the game.
The MVP. The fans.
The MVP is everyone except for Colin Kaepernick. Now in our league, what are we calling our league?
The XXFL.
It's the XXXFL, and everyone's naked the whole time.
That's something different. Well, I specified two.
Do not.
X's.
Let's go four. Let's do four X's then.
Okay, that works.
I think the XXFL is probably copyrighted. The XXXXFL is probably good.
You remember in like cartoons or whatever, where they've got the little bottle of alcohol?
Yes, I was just about to say that.
Two X's on it.
Oh no, I think they usually had three.
No, because that's something different.
I know that's something different. Hold on. Cartoon bottle of alcohol. I think this is going to be three. Yeah, I'm seeing three here on this one. Ooh, this, you know what? This might have an actual reason. This is a Reddit today I learned. Today I learned that the bottles of alcohol in cartoons marked with XXX isn't just meaningless. XXX was used to be an indicator of the strength of a beer by a brewery.
Huh.
1X was weakest and 3X the strongest.
That makes sense.
Huh.
I learned something today.
Okay, this is nope. Correction here. Said I thought it was one time the liquor is distilled once, 2X is the liquor is distilled twice, etc. Someone else said that's the case. Also, let's do that again. Huh.
Huh.
Although it sounds like also that by distilling it more times, the alcohol becomes stronger, so maybe both of those are right.
Huh!
Man, though, the comment section here is just an absolute bleep show of you're wrong, I'm wrong, you're wrong.
Isn't that what the internet was built for?
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm just not used to seeing, this is like a 3-year-old Reddit link. And so I'm usually used to seeing someone who's actually like a scientist out of nowhere giving the correction. In this case, it's just, I'm right, you're wrong, I'm wrong. Says it takes more time and effort / money each time you distill alcohol. The excess tells the distiller how many times each jug has been run through the still. So we're going to have the XXXXXXXXXXXFL.
Sure.
10 X's. And at the end of it, it's just immediately a tournament. We can try to, we'll have like a seeding committee that tries to, you know, do 1 through 8 or whatever. But we're pretty much taking shots in the dark.
Or is it an 8-team free-for-all?
What do you go on?
Every team is on the field at the same time.
Oh, we have to have like a Chinese checkers board. Basically.
8 balls.
Oh my goodness. So the field is basically, I've never played Chinese checkers, I just know, and also I don't know if that's racist to call it Chinese checkers.
No,
or not.
I think that's what
is it actually okay.
That's what I've always heard it called.
Let's see.
Now we gotta check. Same space.
It's Chinese. Okay, yeah, you search Chinese checkers. It's the one that's got like the star
octagon board with
not an octagon. It has six triangles.
Oh, is it just six?
Yeah.
Okay. Hexagon.
Okay. Is Chinese? Yeah. You type is Chinese checkers. Is Chinese checkers racist? Oh no.
Do we need to backtrack?
Well, it just seems like this is gonna. Yeah, I mean, it just seems like it's not actually from China, probably, and it's just like, ooh, it's Chinese, it's mystical, appears to be. Chinese checkers sure is a funny name for a board game that comes from Germany and has nothing to do with checkers. Damn. Most sources can agree that it first appeared as a game called Hoppity, which was popular in Great Britain in the latter part of the 19th century. Huh.
Huh. from Wikipedia, this game was introduced to Chinese-speaking regions mostly by the Japanese.
Weird. This is, it wasn't Chinese yet. It would be until the American toy company, Pressman Company, obsessed with the, quote, Oriental mystique, and more than a bit racist, released a version of Stern Helma under the game Hop Ching Checkers.
Yeah, I saw that name,
oh,
too.
Oh, no.
There's a picture on Wikipedia as well. Yeah, boys playing, quote, Hop Ching Checkers in Montreal, 1942. But anyway, XFL.
I've always wondered why it was called even Checkers, though. Like, it's just because, like...
I know, it's really
like,
weird.
Hey, these Americans know Checkers. Let's give them this one. Although, even in Chinese, it says the game is known as Chinese Checkers, despite having no actual ties to the country. So, I don't think it's offensive to call it Chinese Checkers, but it's
very gray.
And it's also, like, calling Native Americans Indians. Like, it also... That stuck, too. But we were wrong. We had that one wrong, though.
But anyway, do you like my idea of basically just making the XFL like this?
Okay, so...
Free for all.
So we're going to go...
Six teams.
Six teams, yeah, because that's the board here.
Everybody's got a ball. Well, no, eight teams, because there's going to be eight teams. That's the way we have to do it.
Okay, fine. So we'll do eight teams, and there are 16 in... No, it can't be 16 end zones. We need a diagram. I need a whiteboard.
Wouldn't it just be eight end zones?
Or would it be...
Eight teams, eight end zones.
So it's four intersecting... Sorry, I'm opening an app on my computer so I can draw this on an illustrated thing. Oh, I can't. I don't know my Adobe ID right now, computer. Ugh, I'll do this later. So it'd be four intersecting full fields, right?
Yeah.
You're going to have to extend those, though.
That's okay.
A field is too wide, so it's going to have to be... They're going to have to be, like, 150 yards or more narrow. Which actually kind of makes sense.
I don't have a problem with that. How else is the monster truck going to get on the field?
So you've got four... Over basically two X's, but you know, at an angle.
Yeah.
I just want to draw. I got a pen. Hold on.
Do you need me to bring you paper?
I have a. Oh, hold on. I can read some paper. Hold on.
Okay. So yeah, basically.
I hope this paper's not important.
Yeah, just two X's, four teams, or eight teams.
This
I'm sorry.
This is a story about an umpire. Yeah, this is not
okay.
Not needed. Okay. So go ahead and do this at home. So we're gonna have
two X's.
Oh, I already betrayed my own design. Okay, yeah, you're right. That was easier. So it's a one big ol' X that can have four teams and then basically a plus sign.
Or just, yeah.
So we're basically have a kind of an asterisk situation.
Yeah.
Although the asterisk on my keyboard only has five, like, pegs or whatever.
So, obviously, two teams are playing each other while, you know, three other games are going on.
What's their motivation, though, Beard?
It's, no, so here's what it'll do. It'll be just, you know... Four games of XFL going on at the same time on the same field, but when you get to that middle space where all the fields kind of intersect, you can interfere with other teams.
Are you going to want to, though, right away at least? We can't have these teams be killed because we have to build rivalries. So we can't decapitate the losing team.
End of the season, okay.
I think this is a one-game season. I think this is basically like the Olympics.
Okay.
Or maybe every 6 months. Every 6 months is XXXXFL Day. It's a national holiday.
I like it.
Oh, hold on. Can we call it, like, I don't know what this symbol is, but can we call it, like, asterisk FL? So even the branding potential here is huge, Beards. Because we can have... the asterisk in place of the N or the X or the A. So it's asterisk FL. I don't know how we're going to call that, though. We'll call it real football.
Okay.
Yeah, so we just have every 6 months, because there's going to be some injuries. And that's fine. Those are all legal. Also, if you get hurt, you just have to lay on the floor until the game's over.
So, well, okay, hold on. So we're going to have four games going on. So we're going to have four winners.
So then when you want to interfere with teams, you can do it to see who you want to play and who you don't want to play. So you interfere with the good team, so that then you have to play the bad team later.
Or is it... Okay, or... This is when you say or.
Or.
It's the first team to, like, 50. And then the whole thing shuts down. So that way, each team, even though they all have, you know, a responsibility to stop the team in front of them, they're also keeping an eye on the scoreboard.
Okay. I can go with that.
Because, uh-oh, the New England nuclear bombs are at 42. We can't let those damn New Englanders get that last touchdown and two-point conversion because there's no kicking.
Can't let them get to the cannon.
You cannot let them get to the eight-point cannon. Uh-oh, the Cleveland curmudgeons are in a monster truck. We gotta stop that monster truck. They have 40 points, and that's a 10-point score. They score with that monster truck.
Flying V!
Right. Or...
Or...
The games are a process of elimination. So whenever you give up a certain number of points, then
the end zone opens up and you get swallowed?
Yes, okay. Like in The Dark Knight Rises. Then that leg of the field falls out. Because we're playing this whole thing, by the way, suspended by 1,000 helicopters.
I love it.
This whole field is played up 1,000 feet above ground. And we're not going to, no one's going to die whenever they hit the ground here, because we have to have the players come back. Gotta sell
those
jerseys.
There are lots of mattresses at the very bottom.
It's just a bunch of those, like, big foam blocks and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So it's horrifying to watch. Because you're watching men fall from 1,000 feet, but into a big squishy pool.
They'll be safe.
They'll be fine. We might need to get some engineers to help us with the work on this. What are you laughing at?
Renee has joined.
Cool.
She says the cheerleaders are literal strippers.
Obviously. Yes. The XFL basically tried that like 10 years ago. But no, I mean, we have... It's the XXXXXXXFL. The halftime entertainment is not family-friendly.
I'm just imagining, like, basically just... Every fan base is Bills fans.
We are single-handedly as a show. We are speeding up the process of, first of all, having like the national sport from Idiocracy, which I'm assuming is a real thing.
Can you imagine how viral this sport will go?
Dude, it would be huge.
The clips of like the guy getting tackled off the field.
How into good would that be?
Down 1,000 feet.
That's basically like a cut scene from...
You know how like in basketball...
Left for Dead.
You know how in basketball you'll have the guy that's just on the end of the bench that basically just comes in to foul the other
team? Yes.
That's what this guy's for.
Yes.
He's in there just
Ricky,
to tackle somebody off.
Ricky, go tackle Johnny Manziel off of the flying platform. You got it, coach. Thum, 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 thum. Stabs him with the sword. Takes him off the side. Poof. Into the cloud pit, which is what we call it. The Monster Energy Cloud Pit. Actually, you know what? Bleep it. It's a moat of Monster Energy drink. Stop telling me we have to break, Beards. We're going to do a 40-minute segment on this. We're going to do a four... I'm not breaking until my clock here says 5:40. Going to do an uninterrupted 40 minutes
okay.
of the... Hold on. XXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXX it's like those full floor trampolines.
Yes. So we're forgetting something.
Okay.
Slam ball element. We need giant trampolines.
Hell yeah.
All right. Okay. Have you seen the Hunger Games, the original Hunger Games at least?
Yes.
Actually, this might have been in Hunger Games 2, where you know how the island is basically a clock.
Oh, that's the second one, yeah.
And so at noon, there are like, you know, crazy evil monkeys. And at 1, on that section of the island, it's a flood. And at 2, it's the Tracker Jackers or whatever. We've got, like, 8 halves of football fields here.
At 4 o'clock, release the Kraken.
No, well, not even. Not even. This isn't even timed. These are all in different conditions. And then you have, so we were really going to have the Asterisk FL. We got to come up with a quicker way of saying that.
XXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXL isn't good enough?
No, that's a big mouthful.
That's true.
And the asterisk FL is a really good logo, but I don't know how to verbalize it. We could call it the bleep FL.
I thought that too.
Not because it's actually some curse, some terrible, terrible curse word, but because that's what it looks like. So the bleep FL, each of these, they have a week, basically. It's a week every 6 months. And each of these halves of football fields have a different element to them.
Okay.
So, like, oh, man, quadrant one is a blizzard. Quadrant two is in a jungle. Quadrant three, the floor is lava. Quadrant four, oh, no, this is where all those cheerleader strippers are. This is going to be distracting. Quadrant five, it's on fire. Quadrant six, just a normal football field. Quadrant seven.
It's a normal football field, but all of the numbers fall out from underneath.
Perfect. Quadrant seven, it's a political protest. Quadrant eight, everyone's invisible.
Wow.
And so, you have 1 day before this game is played. You have this crazy Oscars ceremony, basically.
Okay.
Celebrity hosts and everything. And they go and they say, all
right, Rob Riggle.
Rob Riggle's out there. He would do it for $15, man. He'll do anything for $12. Quadrant, Bob, I'm the commissioner. You can be the president of the Players Association. We're going to get along very poorly. Actually, you'd be the man on the other side, so you would be good.
They have a Players Association?
Your players would be very unhappy with you. No, we can call commissioner. This is fine. We need some money, though.
Oh, boy, do we need some money.
So, but you have this,
just
like,
the invisibility
giant
technology alone is going to set us back.
We'll work on the invincibility one. But so you have the day before Bleep FL. We're going to take a break in a second, Beard. Not until we're going to just ride this through. The day before the Bleep FL day, you have, all right, you just have some whatever famous actress go out and say, okay, quadrant one is going to be, oh, it's covered in monkeys. There are monkeys everywhere. And then you set up the whole clock. And then you take, like, you go to the halftime show.
Okay.
Where you have all of these analysts and stuff go, man, the San Diego Satan spawn are really going to have to just pray to God that they don't end up in the monkey zone. This team does not have the agility to fend off 1,000 monkeys. Oh, you know what, Jim? I was actually just thinking that, man, if the Buffalo Bees end up in the quadrant that is literally packed full of bees, they are going to have a huge advantage in this game. Then you go back to the ceremony and go, defending quadrant one, the Kansas City Guacamole Chips. Jim, this is wild. This is the Kansas City Guacamole Chips were in no way capable of handling playing an entire game underwater. I'm not even sure where they're going to get that scuba gear, but they're going to need to get it stat. And this is like, this week would be wild. It's basically like, here's what it is. It's if the NFL draft happened and then the Super Bowl was played. Back-to-back days.
And there was a weigh-in at a boxing fight.
Yes! Conor McGregor is my quarterback. I mean, that's the best segment we've ever done, right?
Oh, my gosh. It's 42 minutes.
We did a 42-minute segment.
It was exceptional.
On the Bleep FL.
I don't know what we're going to do next.
We're going to take commercial breaks until the end of the hour. That's what we're going to do next.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Whenever we come back, we'll talk about football. That's a promise that we probably will not be able to live up to. That's next.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
All right, first of all, made a mistake. The field is literally, I have drawn the Red Hot Chili Peppers logo. So we have a copyright issue. We can't use this. We have to either have an asterisk that's six, or I can't draw it in red anymore. This has to be something that we work on.
Well, I mean, every field's going to be a different color because everyone's a different hazard.
Great! This is better. But we might have to work on the formatting of it being basically a big old asterisk. Also, my mother has said, no strippers, Teletubbies instead. Perfect! We gotta go to break again!
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Durf-a-durf-a-durf.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
We've had several more realizations in the last commercial break. Beards mentioned we've had a terrible oversight. We have to have more crocodiles.
Obviously.
Obviously. But also, this is a part of the analysis. It's going to come before basically draft day. And in the 12 or 24 hours between draft day and the actual game. The analysts leading up the draft day are going to be talking about, are they going to bring... They had no crocodiles last year. They had 50 crocodiles in Quadrant 7 last year. What are they going to do by way of crocodiles this year? You know what? Saddam Efter over here. Saddam, what have you... Saddam. Not Saddam. That's not that wasn't what I was doing there. Okay, fine. We have Oge. Just Oge. We have Wojnian Adjanowski here. Or it's actual Woj.
Woj.
Okay, fine. Real-life Agent Wojnowski, what have you been hearing about the crocodiles?
Well, Jim, I got to tell you, this is a stunner, but I'm currently hearing from the XXXXXXXX, am I good, XFL, that this year they are experimenting with something they've never done before here. In the fifth year of this league, there will be a single crocodile starting off in every quadrant.
Whoa! Woj bomb!
Literally, there's actually a bomb.
Oh, totally.
It actually drops a bomb onto the field whenever that happens. Beard just pointed out that we need more power-ups. Beard said during the break that if you hit a quarterback enough times, eventually you get to see their playbook. I think this is good.
Yeah.
If you give up three touchdowns in a row, something terrible happens to your side.
You have to play the rest of the game with the chain ball attached to your leg, like in prison.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good for sure.
Now, obviously, there's the benefit of being able to pick that up and use it as an actual weapon.
Also true.
So you just have to figure out how do you want to do that.
And I do think we have to toe a line here. Because now we've gone, listen, I'll admit, this started as just kind of a funny bit. Now, though, this has some clout. We are going to have to try to keep fatalities out of the game.
Until the end of the season.
Just a one-game season, so it's just...
Yeah.
No, we've decided that instead of decapitation, it's just going to be they get dropped out of the helicopter held up pad in the sky... And they get dropped into a big squishy pit of things. Also, there's one crocodile in there, but you just have to be careful not to land on it.
Or I guess if crocodiles fall off and into the squishy pit, then you have to deal with there being crocodiles in the squishy pit. But we have to keep the fatalities out of the game.
Too many lawsuits. There's a lot of problems for lawsuits.
We have
here.
To protect ourselves. So I don't want to use the XFL strategy of this is the safest version of football.
Oh,
no.
Obviously this is going to be
No. This is its own thing. Also, what happens if you intercept if you're in the middle section, if you're in what do we want to call if you're in the butthole if you're in the butthole of the field what are the rules there? Can you intercept a pass from a team going from quadrant 2 to 6 and then return it to the quadrant you were actually trying to score on, quadrant 4?
See,
does that count? Who does that count against? Against quadrant team 2 or team 4?
I just figured that was they were just kind of all interfering with each other, not necessarily trying to steal the ball and go
Are
score.
The balls four different colors so you can
sure.
know? Okay.
Yeah.
Is this just if Borderlands had a football game?
Pretty much.
Okay. I'm all in.
Except
on
less
it.
Guns.
I'm all in on it. Could we at least make this a video game?
Oh, it would be the best. It would be the best. Greatest selling sports game of all time.
Of all time!
And of course, it would be by EA, which means there would be microtransactions like you wouldn't believe.
No, you know what?
Pay 99 cents, you can have less crocodiles.
More crocodiles.
Or less, depending.
You know what, Beards? Here's how we do this. We go get this made. This game gets made.
Uh-huh.
For the GameCube. Exclusively.
Boom!
Exclusively.
Wait a second. When was the GameCube out of production?
It's Wii compatible. You can play it on all the new Nintendo stuff. But you have to buy, it's just on one of those little GameCube discs. Also, the graphics aren't good.
That obviously.
But it has to be played through the GameCube controller.
2007.
No, I think this is part of the charm.
We're bringing back the GameCube?
We're bringing back the GameCube. Nintendo! 913-491-8255. Let's go. Don't say hello. Say a number. Whenever Beards picks up and he goes ESPN Kansas City, just say $15 million, and then he won't hang up on you.
I'll go, a little low.
And then you go, 17, 18, and then Beards will say, we'll put you on hold. Don't call us. We'll call you. Wait a second. No, we need your number.
Actually, I hang up the phone before I realize that we need their number, and then that's just the end of the conversation.
Oh, no. We come back tomorrow, and I'd sit down and say, hey, Nintendo, I know you're listening. Let's go. Call again. Call in and then just say your own phone number. The Beards will hang up on you, and we'll call you back whenever we're good and ready. Nintendo, please. What else? What other gaps are there in our idea so far? Also, our second segment could have been longer.
It could have. Oh, well. Who are coaches?
That's a good question.
Oh, no. Here's our biggest problem.
Gruden. John Gruden coaches
obviously.
Every team.
But no, here's our biggest problem. I don't see a place for commercial breaks.
The phone just rang. We think it's Nintendo. commercials are only shown through commercial integrations. So, like, if you're a quarterback on the team in Quadrant 3, you legally have to get the Pepsi logo tattooed on your cheek. Or you know, the field has sponsors. You have a Pepsi Quadrant where the whole field is made of Pepsi. So what did... Hold on. Wait, no, Beard, don't say it. Don't say a word yet.
Okay.
Hold on. Man, I got to make sure I get this right, because if I don't, it's going to be... I'm going to sound dumb and racist. So what did... they changed presidents? Oh, man. what did Tatsumi Kimishi Inoue say?
$25 million and a wiener dog. That's what we've got right now. We'll be in contact later.
Okay. It's a little low. I was saying $15 million.
Wait.
I misspoke.
$25 gajillion and a wiener dog. We started at $11 million. I got the bidding up pretty high.
A little low?
$25 gajillion and a wiener dog? Are you kidding?
Make it two wiener dogs. Beards and I both want one. Also, I need a wiener dog that doesn't shed, or else I will kill that dog. I hate having dog hair all over the place. That could be a quadrant. The dog hair quadrant would make me sell my own league. I would sell my own league for pennies on the dollar if Quadrant 8 was the dog hair quadrant. Oh, I could just vomit. Imagine getting tackled with your mouth open in the dog hair quadrant. Oh, I'm going to barf. I'm going to literally barf. Beards is on the phone negotiating right now, by the way. If you're not watching on Facebook, Beards is on the phone negotiating. Beards, I need a quick update. I need an update. I need a number, Beards. I need a number. We got 30 seconds left in the show. I need a number.
Same number. One additional wiener dog, plus food, plus you're now signed to Nintendo forever.
Man.
They own you now.
That's a pretty good deal for the XXXXXXXXXXFL. But I really had Sony in mind for the XXXXXXXXXXXFL. I'll have to think about it. Do we have time to think about it, or do we need to be able to accept right now?
I think we'll be in contact
tomorrow.
All right,
you know what? No, we're good. That's fine. I could do some things with two wiener dogs and $25 gajillion. But one wiener dog. One of them is Beards. But that's Beards' only cut is one of the wiener dogs. None of the money. Oh, we can't top this show tomorrow. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.